It's time for Jody Jenkins, the Golf Guy, on the Golf Radio Network.
Jody Jenkins, the Golf Guy, all part of the Golf Radio Network, and we welcome you to another fantastic edition. I guess we could almost label this program Masters Fallout, although we will be discussing other items. And we are so happy to welcome a guest that frequents this program and joining us now, columnist for the Globe and Mail, also from Acura's Wide World of Golf, it is none other than Lauren Rubenstein. Hello, Lauren.
Good morning, Jody. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
You're not getting snow there, are you? Here it's going to be getting some snow up.
Yeah, I don't even want you to talk about that because our home course was supposed to open up in the next couple days, and it's been pushed back. And a lot of courses that did open early, I think, are kind of behind the eight ball because they actually had to shut back down. So I think we're looking at about another week and a half in this area of Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Lauren, let's get right to it. Zach Johnson winning the Masters. Your first impression, I mean, I'm sure you get this question a lot, but your initial thoughts on that?
Well, you know, it just shows you that Augusta is more than about power. The people who set up that golf course are pretty smart, and when they get the hard and fast and windy conditions, as they did really for all week from Thursday to Sunday, you know, a player can win who doesn't overpower the golf course. It was the same as Mike Weir in 2003, although the conditions were different. Back then it was really, really wet and soggy, but in both cases what was similar is that you had two relatively mid-length hitters, drivers of the ball, who couldn't really get to all the par fives. Mike got to some of them, but certainly didn't try for every one. Zach Johnson laid up on every par five, so you had two similar players who had to depend and rely on their wedge game and their putter. So they took big numbers out of it, you know, by not gambling. They just couldn't even think about gambling. And it just shows you how important the wedge and the putter are. I mean, here it is, the beginning of the golf season in Canada, and you know, out at the driving ranges, 99% of people are out there pounding their drivers, seeing how far they can hit it. Nobody's working on short game. Nobody's working on putting. And yet this Masters, to me anyway, and the one that Mike won, proved that smart, intelligent golf can really win the day, and I'm glad that the era of the power golfer isn't so complete that we have to ignore the short hitter.
Yeah, you mentioned Zach Johnson and his game plan with the par fives, and he talked about that in the press conferences, and I think that really came to the surface on the Sunday when down the stretch he made birdies on both 13 and 15, and obviously his game plan worked. I mean, we might not have noticed him in the first 3 days, but certainly on Sunday it was like, wow, this kid knew what he was doing.
Well, he birdied, you know, he played 16 par fives, four every day, and birdied 11 of them. You know, who knows what Tiger would have done? As I wrote in my column in the Globe on Monday, I mean, on 15 there, Tiger went for the green, and he was trying what he said was a miracle shot. Now, Tiger's one of the few players who could perhaps have pulled off that shot, but even for Tiger, it was a 1 in 10 or 20, who knows, shot. And he knew that. He put it in the water, and, I mean, he made a great 10-footer to save par, but he took a birdie out of the equation. Had he laid up, with his wedge game, he's got a phenomenal wedge game, maybe he would have made birdie. So, you see, sometimes your strength really can be your weakness, and in Zach Johnson's case, he's just not strong enough to have it be his weakness. And I think that's what makes Augusta such a fantastic course, because it introduces such confusion into a player's mind and has them taking gambles that, you know, have a pretty low reward value for the amount of risk that they have to take.
Lauren Rubenstein, our guest on The Golf Guy. Don't forget, you can find us online, jjthegolfguy.com, proudly brought to you by OSM Networks. And Lauren, I want to get your impression on Zach Johnson and how he actually handled the win. I know we talked off air. This guy's a very intelligent gentleman. So humble. Is that, I mean, it's not odd to see, but do you see this changing him at all?
No, I wrote a column about that in this morning's Globe. As a matter of fact, I don't see, you know, everybody reflexively says that the Masters is a life-changing experience. You know, automatically he was being asked questions, well, this is going to change your life, isn't it, Zach? And, you know, sure, he went up to the David Letterman show the next day, and he's been on other shows, and they can, you know, fly in on private planes. But the guy drives a big bus. That's where he and his wife and their 14-week-old son live. And a guy like this, who is so grounded, so rooted, I just don't see him changing. I mean, sure, he's going to make more money and have a lot more opportunities coming along, but I mean, I can't imagine that this is going to go to his head and change him, really. It's going to give him more confidence. It's going to make him believe he can play with anybody and that his style of golf can work. It has worked at Augusta, so that's the sense in which it'll change him as a golfer, but it won't. I don't just completely disagree with people who think that this is a life-altering experience. Actually, if your life is good before, why do you want it to change?
And Lorna, I want to get your impression also on some of the other guys that were near the top, and we'll start with Tiger. It's my belief that I don't think he was going to be able to get Zach no matter what. As soon as Zach hit even overall there on Sunday halfway through, mm-hmm. I think he knew that he wanted it, and I don't think anybody was going to be able to catch him. But yet, the Golf Channel will devote an entire hour to how Tiger lost the tournament. So do you find that odd, or is that just expectation with Tiger?
I don't find it odd given the popularity of Tiger and how big he is in the game these days. But, you know, I do find it interesting that people automatically assume that he's going to win. I mean, the guy was like even money going in there, and this despite the fact that he'd played 11 Masters as a pro and he'd won four of them, which is still phenomenal, obviously, mm-hmm. don't get me wrong. But he'd also lost seven of them. He'd won four and lost seven, so he's not. To make a guy even money or 6-5 or 7-5 in golf is nuts, really. And Tiger just wasn't on his game. He's shown a few cracks this year, missing that short putt at the Accenture to lose his match to Nick O'Hearn, and then at Augusta, he wasn't even close to his A game. I watched him quite a bit, and he made some really awkward swings. But you know what's amazing about Tiger? As poorly as he played, he still had a chance to win, only finished two shots behind. Somebody else who hit the ball like him would have been, you know, missed the cut.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. And quick comments on Brett Wetterich and Stuart Appleby, sorry.
Well, you know, I mean, Wetterich is probably, a little green, you know, at the Masters, so he couldn't get the green jacket. He's a real power player, and he's probably not yet, he's got a lot of touch. I know Nick Price down here in Florida plays a lot of golf with him. He's very high on Wetterich, but I don't think Wetterich believes he's as good a player as he is yet, and I hope he's starting to believe that. He needs to hold back a little bit, lay back a little bit, and maybe play a little bit more of the Zach Johnson type of golf, which won't be easy for a power player like him to do. Stuart Appleby, right from the get-go on Sunday, he just didn't seem to have it, made bad swings, and I really don't know what it is with Appleby. I've thought he would win a major a long time before this, but of course he's had some rocky times in his life, losing his first wife to that terrible accident, and now things are going well on a personal level, but for some reason, with that great golf swing of his, he just doesn't put it together in the majors yet.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's just me, and I think he's a great player, but he has a real anger problem sometimes when he screws up.
Yeah, he can get mad out there easily. You know, Tiger got mad, too. A lot of people have commented on, you know, the fact that Tiger looked a little bit unprofessional out there. I mean, I was out on the golf course. I wasn't really watching too much of the telecast, and I was watching Zach. I was going back and forth, and I didn't see a lot of what Tiger was doing, but I'm told that, you know, he was, you know, I heard what he did on 17. I saw that, but I heard he was popping off quite a bit. And, I don't know. It's interesting because Jack Nicklaus never did behave like that. And Tiger's in the same place as Jack at the top of the heap. And he's competitive as hell. But, I would think maybe he could, show a little bit, be a little bit more dignified out there on the golf course. He is most of the time, but occasionally when he wants to win so bad and he's not pulling it off, he lowers his standards a little.
Jody Jenkins, the golf guy, all part of the Golf Radio Network. Our guest is columnist for the Globe and Mail, Lauren Rubenstein. Lauren, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we return, we'll talk about some more of the majors and the style of play and the course conditions that we can expect later on the season, and also your feelings on the Canadians that played in the Masters. So hopefully you can stick around.
Okay, you bet.
We'll be right back. It's Jody Jenkins, the golf guy, on the Golf Radio Network.
I've been walking with a big grin, singing with my eyes closed.
Take a listen to this line from MicroAge President Tom Fleming. When you deal with MicroAge, we take all the worry and problems out of your computer systems. Isn't that a relief? I mean, let's be honest. Sometimes dealing with computers can be frustrating work, but not when you put it in the hands of MicroAge. They cover it all, from computer sales to IT consulting, right through to project management. Their approach is to deal with you and meet your exact needs. They want you to succeed, and they will use their energy and talent to make sure you get there. MicroAge has been in business since 1984, specializing in bringing IT solutions to the business community with the best and accredited professionals in the region. MicroAge in Belleville and Kingston. Computer solutions have never been so clear.
Brent has a hard time with anything that isn't sports.
What's the score? I can't tell. Who's winning?
Brent, it's Shakespeare in the Park. Nobody wins.
You got that right.
That's why Brent likes it at Boston Pizza, because he can relax, watch whatever game, and always get exactly what's going on, unlike some other places.
Offside! Totally offside!
The word is objection, Mr. Hawes.
Right, objection. What'd I say?
Boston Pizza. You're among friends.